It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, an update from security guard Glenn in the haunted hotel he secures. A monster from a childhood dream makes an appearance in the waking hours. A dead woman returns with a message for the living. And a man snooping on a woman's computer leads to the unearthing of more information than he can handle about her. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or if you like the show, support us. Keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get a bonus episode every single week of the show. Access to our complete archive of bonus episodes. All sorts of bonus stuff, advanced episodes. It's all there for you. If you want to do a yearly membership at ghostpodcast.com, right now you'll get a USB drive or access to a specific download link for your yearly membership and support. On there are an extra EPP episode that is only for yearly members, as well as a special about Richard in Chattanooga. If you've followed the show for a long time, you know what that's all about. It's all of the calls, including never-before-heard calls on that special, along with a bunch of interviews, some of my favorites, some that have never been heard yet. It's more than 10 hours of content that you get right there when you become a yearly EPP. At ghostpodcast.com. We'll send you in on a nice reusable 8-gig USB flash drive, or I can get you a link, whatever you prefer. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Feels kind of weird to be back in here. I'm fine with it, though. The audience doesn't realize that we were off. We were doing some traveling, and we haven't been in here for, what, 2 weeks, right around there?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
So suddenly it's like, oh. Okay, we're back doing a show again. Mm-hmm. And we did some show related things a little bit on microphone when we were out.
Yeah, we did.
And we got some interesting stuff that a lot of content, but there was we went on a ghost tour. Mm-hmm. And this will actually be out on the Grave Talks coming up towards Halloween around Mackinac Island.
Yeah.
And did a full live episode there walking around the island. Getting a guided one-on-one with Todd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It was really interesting to go and I've talked about some of these things before on the island, but to see them all kind of firsthand and hear some of the in-depth stories about the hauntings and all that, it was great.
It was. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and we all know I'm a chicken shit when it comes to doing anything ghostly.
Even our girls were along with us for the episode.
They were, and they enjoyed it. And I have to give kudos to Todd because he understood that, you know, some of what we were going to talk about may have been too much for the girls,
uh-huh.
and he really kept it to where they could all understand it and not be afraid.
Yeah, instead of saying like decapitation, he would say like, and they brutally ripped their heads off and things like that.
Well, there wasn't anything that was like super dark anyway, but it was really nice that the girls, you know, they appreciated that almost everything there is a happy haunt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it was good. It was really interesting to go around and hear all of it and everything from the Grand Hotel all the way to the other end of the island, Mission Point, where there's a lot of stuff. People have seen that on Ghost Adventures and such. It was really cool. So we got a full, probably it's more than an hour of him sharing. It's like literally you coming along for a private ghost tour with us. And that'll be towards October on the other show, the Grave Talk. So look forward to that. I'm looking forward to putting that all together. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first story of the day. It says the children's horror section does still exist. Maybe not in libraries, but Scholastic book orders. Maybe it's just Canadian thing. I don't know. So we've talked about that on the show. Is that still around?
Yeah.
Children's horror. Apparently it is.
Okay.
That's great. Anyway, I've meant to send the story in for a while. I'll start with the first experience I can remember. My father was a long haul truck driver for the majority of my childhood, which meant it was only my mother and I who was home a lot. As a treat, we'd sleep in their living room and watch movies on weekends with my father when he was away. One night, when I was around 7, I was asleep in the living room floor and I woke up to the sounds of the cupboard doors in the kitchen slamming shut. I sat up and looked in the couch and I couldn't see my mom. She was fast asleep. I knew it was only the two of us at home. Being half asleep, I brushed it off and laid back down, this time facing my mother on the couch in the picture window. Within seconds of closing my eyes, I hear what sounds like branches against the window. I quickly sit up to see a face in the corner of the picture window. The face was whitish gray with sharp teeth, a horrifying smile, and we had a top hat on. With wild, black, wiry hair. It looked almost exactly like the Babadook. Of course, in the 1998, I had no idea what a Babadook was. Do you know what a Babadook is? I don't either. There's some sort of reference to it, whatever it is. I sat there staring at it for what seemed like forever. I was terrified, but I couldn't make a sound or move. I was frozen in fear staring at the thing. I finally managed to blink, then it was gone. Years passed. I didn't see the thing again until a few years ago in my dream. My sons are fast asleep in their bunk beds. Get it over here. Let me get my desk back organized. My husband and I were asleep in our bed. I had the terrifying nightmare I'd ever had, the most terrifying. The dream began with a scream from my son's bedroom. I ran into the bedroom, stopped next to the bottom bunk where my 3-year-old son was asleep. Hovering over my sleeping son was that thing. He looked up and I smiled. I began to laugh as he grabbed my son's leg and tried to pull him under the bed. That's when I woke up screaming and sweating. I woke my husband up and made him check on the kids. I knew that if I went into the room, I would see it. My husband came back from the bedroom and said he's fine. Just moved him over a bit. His foot was hanging off the bed. No sooner than those words left his mouth, my son screamed a horrified scream. We both went into his room. He told us the monster woke him up. For as long as we lived in that home, my son talked about monsters and bad men in his room. It took a couple of hours to get him back to sleep. It was extremely difficult to leave him in that room after the dream that I had just had. I eventually did end up back in my bed asleep. I woke up to the sound of the toilet flushing. I assumed it was my oldest son. Closed my eyes, tried to call back to sleep. I felt someone standing in front of me then, staring at me. I opened my eyes and saw what at first appeared to be my son, except small details were off. His eyes were deep black holes and his smile was sinister. I sat up and it was gone. I went into the bedroom to check on my sons. Both were fast asleep in their beds. We had several more experiences in that house, as well as our new house. Even a few experiences while listening to your podcast, including
a missing time experience. Kind of accept that we are just a haunted family. Thanks for your show. I'm an EPP and a gravekeeper.
So what would be worse, having that nightmare as a parent and then it kind of playing out right there, or having that nightmare while your child's going through it and not being able to be there for them?
I think the worst part is where you can't help the kids.
Mm-hmm.
When that's going on. What's most disturbing, I think, about it is you know that you are the one who initially had the experience. I think you'd be kind of wondering, like, did I bring this into them? Am I responsible for this, or is this thing just following me around and now it's following our family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of a helplessness.
Yeah.
Of not knowing when or how it's going to be appearing or you know, showing up to the kids.
Right.
And what they're going to be experiencing and what they're even telling, you know, them, the parents, of their experiences right now, because there's only so many ways that they can verbalize it, you know, and then, you know, what are they going to recount when they're older, when they're looking back on the experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's a creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, I am now 31 years old. From about 22 to 28 years, I was in and out of the hospital for months at a time for surgeries due to a life-threatening infection I got at the age of 22. Fortunately, I'm fine now, no longer have to be in the hospital, but sadly for many, they don't make it out. Every time I went into the hospital, I was on a different floor. Every floor had its own stories. I always made good friends with my nurses, especially my night nurses, because for me to sleep at night, I needed medication to help. At times when they were less busy, they would sit and talk with me. So I have a story of my own and one of theirs. One night, one of the nurses that I was very close to wasn't busy at all, so he came to help me and keep me company. We started talking and he asked me if I wanted to hear something weird. I said, sure, I like weird. He wanted to tell me about a year before that night we were speaking. He unfortunately lost one of his patients right down the hall from me. A code blue was called and they weren't able to save her, and she lost her life in that room. She was close with all the nurses, like I was, and it was very hard on all of them. After she passed, they decided to make room for the floor. A few weeks later, he's walking past the room and the light was on. Strange as it was, only the nurse on that end of the floor that night, and he didn't go in there. A few nights after that, he sent his trainee to go in and grab some supplies. She came back all freaked out, stating everything was moved off the bed and the blanket was folded. The odd thing was my nurse was just in there about 20 minutes before and he didn't do it. Finally, about a week later, he went into that room, and when he came back to my room, he was acting weird but wouldn't tell me anything. A few days later, I got it out of him that when he went in there, he saw a woman standing and was staring at one of the unplugged monitors. He thought it was a nurse, so he started talking to her and got no response. He moved to go around her, and he said, being so close to her, he didn't feel right. Something was off. He looked up to see her face, and he realized it was the woman who died. He backed out of the room and wouldn't go back in for weeks. He told me that he told the other nurses, who were all freaked out, but eventually they had to start using the room to get supplies, and she started to become a friend. Over the weeks, she'd make sure that they could find what they were looking for, and when walking in that room, it was always light and airy, a good feeling. So now all the nurses say hi and goodbye when they're in that room. Now, a story of my own. Being in the hospital so often, I like to keep my door closed. It was easier than hearing everything that was going on in the hallways. One night, I had my door closed and I heard a knocking. I called out to come in, but nobody did. I bent my head to look under the door and saw a shadow, but nobody came in. A few nights later, I got up to use the restroom, and when I was walking back to my bed, I made sure to close the door most of the way because it took up too much room to keep open. I also made sure the light was off, as it was an extremely bright light. I'm lying in bed watching TV when all of a sudden my bathroom door closes and the light is now on. Now, I understand there's no breeze in these rooms, so there's no way to close the door unless someone closes it or something. Of course, I freaked out and called my nurse, but they always brush things like that off, maybe because they hear stories like that often. My last one is, one day I was restless and got up to walk out in the hallway. I was moving slowly because I had surgery about 2 weeks before and was still in pain and very tired. The side of the hallway was particularly quiet and I was the only one up. I was walking back to my room. I looked up and saw my door closing. I thought it was weird since the nurse had left me about 10 minutes before and no one else was around. I could hear them on the other side of the hall, not on my side. It took me about 5 minutes to get back to my room, and when I opened the door to my room, I was exceptionally cold. The weird thing is, I was waiting for the repairman to come as my AC was broken. It was so hot in my room, I couldn't stand it. I went over to the vent, but there was no air coming out. I thought it was odd, but I was exhausted. I went back into bed to watch TV, and it stayed cool until the repairman came in. Strange thing is, a few minutes before he came in, it started getting hot in my room again. My point is, hospitals have a lot going on, and I experienced some of it.
That's interesting to kind of experience it from not only his point of view, but also kind of like the almost the nurse's point of view, how they had to go in and say hi and bye because they knew that patient is never going to leave.
It's what reminded me of is the thing that they do at Disney with the guy that does the repairman who died on Pirates of the Caribbean, where they always say, "Hi, George." Mm-hmm. And then if you do that, the legend goes that you'll have a day with less repairs on that ride because that ride does tend to break down quite frequently.
It does, yeah.
And if you don't recognize George, your ride will have a very rough day. Mm-hmm. I think almost every time we've been there, you go to check on the ride, like, is it running?
Mm-hmm.
And you got about a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, and you know, to me, with that kind of haunt, what does it hurt to just say it, you know?
Sure. Why not?
But I'm superstitious. So, you know, I do superstitious things and that kind of would fall under there.
You see, I view that one as a little bit different. Now, I'm not superstitious about rocking a rocking chair mm-hmm. or I don't know what other. I know you have other ones, but they don't come to mind at this moment. I would be a little more superstitious about that because it pertains to a specific individual. Mm-hmm. And that I feel like there's more, I guess, I don't know, more connection to that mm-hmm. person than just an overall thought of a rocking chair.
Sure.
Where there's maybe nothing, no one connected to that specific chair. It'd be different if it was like, well, this is grandma's rocking chair. Mm-hmm. That's a little different. But if it's just a chair, that sort of stuff, I don't get into. I don't know. It's not what how I have ever operated. But I would be more on the George level.
Yeah, because it is more of a... more of a haunting than a superstition, but if you don't believe in it, what's the difference between a superstition and
I put them in different categories.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well,
I mean, do you see the difference to me of how I categorize? Like, one is like, this was a person, they had a story. Our rocking chair upstairs from Cracker Barrel doesn't have much of a story to it other than it was sitting in a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I get that. But to me, it's more the prevention of something bad happening.
Okay.
That ties it together.
So is it like when you have what, and we're probably going much deeper into the superstition than you have ever even thought of because you just, I'm assuming you probably operate in something that's like, it's superstition. You don't really know why you do it.
Right.
So I'm going to make you dig into why you do it.
Okay.
With a rocking chair, for example. Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't know, it's bad luck to rock an empty rocking chair because they say it invites spirits to sit down and stay a while.
Okay. So that being said, mm-hmm. is it like the rocking chair is potentially a portal for something? Is that what the view of it kind of is?
No, it's more of an invitation. It's not so much a portal.
So is the rocking chair just as bad as a Ouija board if rocked?
No, I think what it goes back to is, you know, they used to have this thought that spirits were invited in mm-hmm. somehow.
Sure.
And you needed to do things to prevent that. So like rocking a empty rocking chair was an invitation for it to sit down and stay. Same as painting your porch ceiling light blue, haint blue, which was haunt blue mm-hmm. to keep them from coming in. So it's more of a I don't know the word. It's prevention.
Okay.
More of a prevention. So you don't do that.
Okay. It makes a little more sense to me mm-hmm. as to like how it works. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I had some other point I was going to make, but I completely forgot.
Now, do I hit the rocking chair in our room every time I vacuum? Sure, I do. And does it rock? It sure does.
Our room is haunted as shit.
No, too. It's just, it's not an intention thing.
Sure. I keep getting my little point that's coming to the top of my mind and gone. My mind is like fried after these 2 weeks on the road. I swear, I'm like, I've been sitting here all day putting together episodes for the next month, and I'm going through calls and I'm going through stories, and I'm just like, squirrel. I can't focus, but anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Got a lot of interesting stuff. We can talk more about it on this episode and the next episode of some stuff that we, beyond just the tour that we did, that'll be on the Grave Talks, but some interesting haunt locations that we got to check out. And I got some good video too that'll be going up on social media on our Facebook page in the coming weeks, or maybe it's already up there by the time this airs. I don't know. Follow us on Facebook and you'll see. 855-853-4802. Let's get another story. It says, 3 weeks ago, I was on a female friend's laptop looking up some pictures and came across her folder labeled him. I thought maybe it was pictures of a guy she thought was hot or something like that. So I opened it, and the folder was two Word documents. Well, my nosiness kicked in, and I opened and read them. At first, I thought how great the stories were and wondered if she was maybe writing shorter stories for a paper or something. I was going to ask her about them, but had forgotten over the next 2 days. Then on the third day, I was on her computer again, and in the browsing history, this site was there. I clicked and saw what the site was about. I entered the names of her stories, and surprisingly, both came up. I read the stories, which were the same as her stories, and the comments. I immediately got scared for her. Either she's nuts, and I have to get her help, or something is happening to her. I decided to watch her and see if anything seemed different about her. We worked together and hang out a lot, so I figured it would be easy. I also asked some of our close friends if they noticed anything. Keep in mind, since her aunt passed, she has had moments where she will cry or seem down. So after talking with friends and being told that others had bad moments, they didn't see much change in her. So I spent the last 2 weeks practically stalking her, trying to spend as much time with her as possible and paying close attention to everything she says and does while we were together. It's the end of the story. It's creepy. No, I'm kidding. It keeps going. That would be a creepy end to it. Well, I keep locks of her hair under my pillow at night.
That's nice.
Had it not been for the things I've seen, I would not be writing. On the fourth day we were leaving work, I asked her to go and have a drink with me. She doesn't drink, but I thought it would be a good moment to talk. She agreed, and so we left the building. I felt sort of anxious, kind of like the feeling you get right before you hear the results of some big test you've done. I also felt the urge to look around like we're being watched. She felt none of this because she just walked like normal. So I got control of myself and went to her car. We got to the pub. I drank. We talked. And after an hour or so, I decided to leave. She dropped me off at my house while I leaned down to the window to say goodnight. I saw through the driver's side window and across the street between the two houses a black figure. The moment I saw whatever it was gone. I jumped back and she turned her head in the direction I was looking and then looked back at me. I just told her I thought I saw something. I need to stop drinking. We laughed and she left. After showering and getting ready for bed, I was standing in my kitchen drinking some water, completely sober by this point, and felt this heavy, thick, choking kind of weight all around me, like being sedated before surgery. I stumbled, caught myself on the cabinet, and then the feeling was gone. I ran straight to the bathroom and threw up. I walked slowly up the stairs and got into bed. 8 days passed, and the sedated feeling never came back, and I hadn't gotten sick again. It was Friday, and we decided to have a bonfire, so all the usual people gathered to get things ready. I noticed the morning after picking her up that she seemed happy and glowed. The day passed without any issues, and around 11:30, the party was in full swing. I decided not to drink so I could designate drive. I'd seen my friend walk off alone after about 15 minutes. I started to worry and went to look for her. And here's where it goes from my friend might be crazy to, oh my God, what's going on? I got about 15 feet in and heard a moaning. It was almost sexual, but different somehow. It scared me. So I started to run towards the sound when it came to a small enclosure of trees, and I stepped into the trees and saw it. He was standing there with dark hair, leaned over slightly. She was in his arms. One hand on the small of her back, the other on the back of her head. They weren't kissing, but their faces were so close it looked like they were. The air around them seemed to be almost foggy. I stood there for who knows how long, just watching. Then I must have made a noise or something, because all at once everything went black. I heard a loud pop, and I felt the sedated feeling again. The next thing I knew, All these voices were saying my name and touching my face, opening my eyes, and almost everyone from the party was there looking panicked. And I also noticed that the sun was up. Everyone thought I had gotten drunk and passed out in the woods, but I told them I hadn't drunk and I must have tripped or knocked myself out. To my surprise, they bought it and took me home. Several days passed without any contact from my friend, so I just went to her house. I stood on her porch for almost 10 minutes beating on her door before she opened it. She looked like she was going to puke. She told me to come and told me everything, including the things that had happened since the last time she wrote. She told me that he was not trying to hurt me the two times that he interacted with me, but that he was trying to keep me from being too involved because he may not be able to protect both of us. Should I be concerned for either of us? What should I do? She does not feel threatened or thinks that the situation is a problem.
That's a hard one because it sounds like there's a romantic relationship going on between the friend and the ghost.
And who doesn't? I mean, everybody runs into that with a coworker at sometimes where someone's dating a ghost. And you can't judge. Just got to be like, you know, it happens.
Okay. I would say back off of the whole thing for your safety so that you're not getting hit in the head and knocked out until the next day over and over. I would just back off from it and, you know, that's her choice what she does with that situation.
I don't think there's anything you can do to intervene in the ghostly relationship.
No. And they... You know, think of how living jealous boyfriends would be. Just know that he's got extra ammo. So
seems to be he has some power there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and already has exercised it a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a what the hell situation.
Yeah.
Of oh my God. So yeah, I don't even know what to make of that. Other than I'd be okay. That's pretty interesting, and you're not coming to the bonfires anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you going off to the side with the ghostly guy. And what if you bring him back to the fire? And Yeah.
I mean, we've heard other stories where there's been a love triangle that's involved somebody that's dead before. But yeah, I would leave that alone.
Do you think it was kind of like I'm envisioning like Ghost? Do you think there's Patrick Swayze music playing out in the forest at all?
No, but there will be from now on in his mind forever.
While they were in the embrace. they're like, all of a sudden, she's like the wind.
That's the wrong movie, and don't in do my, that.
What song are you thinking
no,
of?
No, I'm not going to go down this path with you.
She's like the one who's Dirty Dancing, right?
Yeah.
But
I'm not going to tell you because
Ghost was.
You will sing it.
I know what the Ghost one was. Uh-huh. It wasn't a Patrick Swayze song. No, it was Unchained Melody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't break into Unchained Melody.
Thank you.
I'm not a big fan of Unchained Melody.
Really?
You know, when I was a kid, I used to listen to the original version on records with the Righteous Brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it the Everly Brothers?
That's the Righteous Brothers.
And I remember I used to really like it as a kid. I don't know why. It's just one of those. Maybe I overplayed it on kid radio. Because I had like 7 records I rotated and that was one of them. And I think I kind of burned myself out on that song at the age of about 4.
That's sad. That's really sad.
It's like between that, like I don't listen to like Beach Boys anymore. I appreciate the song. It's a good song. But it's like I played like 7 records.
You burned out some of the best music of all time by the time you were 4.
I just played them over and over and then talked between them.
That's great. And so forever we get to enjoy a Yacht Rock because you can't seem to burn out of that one.
I was kind of burned out of Yacht Rock by the time the trip was done.
Yeah.
Are you burned out on Yacht Rock?
I'm so over Yacht Rock for like a year.
What should we listen to now? I don't know.
Something else. I don't care.
Death metal?
No, definitely not that.
A little bit.
Oh, that's great.
It'd be great. What if you did like death metal versions of Yacht Rock songs?
That'd be awful.
Sailing takes me away.
I'm going to lose my headphones here.
It'd be great. Hey, Glenn's got an update for us from the hotel that he's guarding. Glenn.
How you guys doing? It's Glenn from Ohio. I just got off work a little bit ago. So... a lot of stuff has happened since I last did the call last time. I did a staging of like the whole place a while back, and it was like pretty good for a while. And then like maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, we started getting in one hallway just where it would be, where it was cut off from like residents and stuff. It would just be orbs. So we'd get, they'd be shooting, you know, everywhere for like hours on end. And that was it for a while. And then a week or two would go by, and then we'd start seeing them moving back into the, like the stairwells and stuff like that. And then we start getting actually like what looks like mist and stuff that'd be walking up and down the hallways. And then while I was sitting at the computer one night waiting for our relief to get there to relieve us, I ended up seeing on camera 5, there was a really big amount of, well, there was a massive amount of mist by the emergency stairwell. And then it hung there for like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then after that, it just like pretty much just like dissolved. And then I remember, I think it was like, I can't remember, maybe a day or two, maybe a couple days ago, I was looking at the monitor. Just got into work at 3 o'clock, and I was sitting down. And I was like, "Well, you know, that's weird. That door is ever moving by itself." And I just kept watching it. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, that looks like, you know, mist going down the stairwell." Now, you know, my partner was sitting next to me. I was like, "Look at this, man! Look at this! It's crazy." He's like, "Yeah, what stairwell is that?" I was like, "That's the, you know, 6th stairwell down to the 5th." He goes, "All right, real quick." And then the contractor came around. I was like, "What are you guys looking at?" Because every time I find anything, he's like, "Hey, send it to me. I want to see that." He's got some. I thought I had a collection of stuff. No, that dude has some pretty horrible stuff. Like, he's got videos of the other guard that used to be there walking to the ballroom, and you could hear a piano playing, and then you would get to the right to the piano, and the piano would stop. Or you could hear a little girl in there playing in the ballroom by herself, and you hear her talking and then laughing, and all of a sudden, as soon as he gets to the ballroom, nobody's in there. But I was sitting down there, and I gave him all my walkie, and I was like, "You know, here's the other walkie. Keep in contact." And Jeff's like, you know, looking at it, he goes, "Man, that's insane." He goes, "Well, you know, just to make sure, let me make sure ain't no workers up there, because the building is under construction." So he's like, "Let me get up there and make sure." He goes up there. Him and my partner were the only two people on that entire level. And the way to get through there is two big old, they have like built like two big doors. And the only way to get into those doors is each door has a lock on it. It's a really big lock. And each door has one of those locks on it. Well, there's only two people in the whole place that has the keys. Well, one guy was up in New York helping build, you know, finish up a New York building or a skyscraper or something. And Jeff, the contractor, was another one. And he goes in there and he goes around, looks for anything. Nobody's on that whole entire floor. So he's standing there by that door that's opening and closed by itself. And all of a sudden he says, "It's a heavy door. And the doors weigh at least about 75 pounds apiece, because they're fire safety doors. They're supposed to keep the smoke and, you know, fire at a distance, you know, that way it don't go to the other departments of the building. So they're pretty heavy doors. Like, you literally have to put all your ass into pushing them doors open." So he's standing there watching it, and I hear my partner call me on the radio. He goes, "Hey, Glenn, there's nobody up here." He goes, "I just want to let you know, and the contractor's looking at the door right now. There's no wind up here." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, there ain't really nothing we can do about it, is there?" And he goes, "No, there's nothing." He goes, "This is pretty freaky." So they get back down there, and all of a sudden, they get halfway back down the steps, and then all of a sudden you hear, boom! They go back up real quick. That door has literally opened all the way up by itself and then came back really hard. So that freaked them both out, so they start running down there. And then it was pretty creepy. But I've had other stuff happen to me since then. Like, it just seems like the energy that used to be in that place before I sage was so horrible. Like, you walk in there and it just feels so heavy on you. It's like, I don't know, I can't really explain that, but it was horrible. Like, there's so much, like, I remember seeing, there's a lot of good people in those buildings. But you kind of think about all the, you know, the murders and stuff like that to happen, because there has been a lot of murders in that building. Like, have they been caused, you know, like, what has caused those murders? could it be something in that building that's, you know, taking control of people doing it, or, you know, what's going on? But I do remember a couple of stories. I think I already posted it on your page. One guy was a guy who was a father, and apparently the grandmother and she was watching the granddaughter or something, or had custody of it, and the dad got mad that he couldn't see his daughter, so he went up there one night, and it's sad to say, but he ended up killing both of them with a gun. And then that was back in, I think, 2014 or something. And then another time, another horrible story. A guy was up there. He got set up by his best friend. The guy opened the door about midnight, close to midnight, and because he had somebody knock on it, it was his friend. He walked in there and said, you know, they stayed for a bit, and then he ended up leaving the door open. And the guy fell asleep on the couch. Well, he woke up to a double-barrel shotgun to his face, and they ended up robbing him. And then it's sad to say, but the guy put the 20-gauge double-barrel shotgun to his chest and pulled the trigger and killed him instantly. But it's just a lot of stuff there. Like, you're just wondering, you know, with as much as you feel in there and stuff like that, is there something there that could cause people, you know, do harm to other people? Because before I sage, like, it's weird, but I've dealt with some of the, you know, some really nice people, and they'll go to a part of the building and come back and are hateful as can be, and they're, like, pissed off, and they don't want nothing to do with you, and then they'll come back to you like, hey, you know, I want to apologize, you know, I don't know what happened. Well, what the hell do you mean you don't know what happened? Like, you're pretty pissed off. We almost had to call the cops. He's like, I don't understand what happened. He goes, one minute I'm fine, Andy, next minute he was irate, pissed off, and, you know, ready to tear down the building. But it's just some of the, like, feelings you get through when you walk through some of them hallways is just tremendous. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't know if it's just, like, the pain and suffering of people, but I've been there a couple times, and my partner will go on his rounds, and out of nowhere I hear, like, a woman start screaming really loud, like she was, like, in pure terror or somebody was hurting her, and I would have to jump up real quick and, like, run down the hallway to look to see if anybody's down there, and it's usually nobody there, and it's usually coming out of the damn ballroom, and the ballroom's just now getting touched up. It's being remodeled as well, but, you know, I walk in there, nobody's in there, and there's three doors blocking the ballroom, and they're always locked unless the contractor's there, and this was pushing about 9 or maybe 10 o'clock at night right before getting off, and then Ron, one of the people living there, would be like, hey, did you hear that? And he lives on, so, like, it's the third floor, and Ron would come out and be like, hey, did you hear that? And I'm like, yeah, I heard that. Was that you guys? And he'd be like, no. He goes, what the hell was that? And I don't know. Like, it would be at random times we'll hear it, and it's always coming out of the ballroom. And again, there's three big doors there that they keep locked unless people are there, but this was happening, like, you know, 9 and 10. They've already been gone for a couple of good hours, and, you know, we walk in there, and, again, nobody is in there. And then, you know, I have to lock the door back again, put the key up in the little safe we have, and I walk on, and then sit back down, and all of a sudden you hear another woman scream, same voice, same everything. And it sounds like she's being tortured. But I'll keep you guys updated on the rest of stuff. You guys have a good night. Bye.
So I think we're back to the chicken and the egg question on this hotel. Is it something there that's causing all these murders, or are the murders leaving the bad energy that's causing all the hauntings and causing everybody else to be in a bad mood?
Is it all kind of working together?
Yeah, I don't know. I think at this point it has snowballed to the point where it doesn't really matter because it's just a ball of bad, you know?
If we could find out what the place is once it's renovated, do you want to do a vacation there?
On this one, probably not, because it's not a happy haunting.
It seems a little extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems very messed up. If you want to see any of his videos, he's a member of our group page of Real Ghost Stories Online group on Facebook. You can become a member there. Just send us a request. And he posts semi-frequently. And some of the stuff he posts is like, holy shit. It's like, it's messed up. And it's unique because it's not like some of those that you see, oh, I've seen this 50 times. Mm-hmm. He's just posting it. It's, yeah, Firsthand. You can check that out. Thank you for the update, Glenn. We always appreciate when you call in and give us updates on the on the situation there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up the show for today. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Yearly membership available there too. You can do a monthly or yearly. With yearly, you get the USB drive and all those extras. So consider that, or monthly, whatever suits you, at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.